From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he concludes a message entitled, The Spirit of Adoption. In explaining the beauty of the believer's standing before God, Dr. Cairns has shown that the Spirit of Adoption witnesses that we are not under the law, but under grace. Therefore, we have no need to labor under a sense of fear. Finally, we'll see that all the riches of divine grace belong to the believer in Christ by divine right. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to call attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today, he speaks of that which every soul longs for, peace.
Wars have been fought for it. World political leaders endlessly discuss it. Individuals yearn for it. What is it? It is peace. A most elusive prize indeed. Now, the Bible says, Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. It also says that the Lord Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. There's a great problem in the world's conception of peace. Among nations, peace is often equated with a cessation of hostilities. Again, peace among people is usually looked on a very horizontal plane, dealing merely with either relationships with other people or with an equilibrium of mind, a serenity of mind that we ourselves may enjoy. Now, I do not for one moment undervalue these aspects of peace, but very few people ever really bother to think upon the simple truth that the basic aspect of peace must be peace with God. The greatest enmity that a man can have is enmity toward God. The greatest chasm that can divide him from anyone is the chasm that divides him from God. The Bible says your sins have separated between you and your God. Now that is a chasm indeed. Paul said that we are alienated from God by wicked works. Alienated, at enmity with God, at hostility with God. We need peace with God. How do we obtain peace with God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to reconcile us, that is, to make peace between us and our God. We have peace with God, says the Apostle Paul, through our Lord Jesus Christ, having been justified by faith. We have peace with God. That's where peace starts. Now, I would advise you today to make sure that in your longing for peace, you don't simply long for a peaceful world and a peaceful family and the serenity of your own soul, but make sure that you have peace with God, that you are not living in enmity toward God. Now, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who made peace for us with God through the blood of his cross, when you have him as your Savior, then you can receive from him the gift that the Bible calls the peace of God. When you have peace with God, you can receive the gift of the peace of God. He will give you that gift of peace. The Bible says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said that we should be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep. And the word keep means shall stand guard over, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the key to peace of heart and peace of mind, peace in the home, peace in your relationships. It starts with peace with God, having received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then through Him enjoying the sweet peace and serenity of soul. He promised it. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christian, be encouraged today. The peacemaker is the peace giver. He promises peace in a troubled world.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
there's ever a verse in the Bible that sums up the very heart and substance of adoption, there it is. As He is. You think of how He is today. Think of what He is. Where He is. How He is. I want to tell you there's a correspondence between where we are, what we are, and how we are. As He is, so are we in this world, even now. Now here's the result of that adoption. There is no fear in love. Now let's not complicate matters. The charismatics want us to believe that there is no fear of any description, and yet we are told that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't take a genius to realize there is a difference, a very basic difference, between the godly reverential fear and awe that a child of God has toward God because of His majesty, and that tormenting, slavish fear that a rebel has at the thought of coming into the presence of his judge. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. What is perfect love? It is God's love to me in Christ. Perfect love, as I come to understand that love, casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. There you have it. Fear hath torment. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Turn that around. He who, with maturity of heart and soul, comprehends the love of God in Christ, is free from tormenting fear. The Holy Ghost then witnesses, you are loved by God. You are redeemed by God. You are reconciled by God and unto God. You are justified by God. You are adopted by God. Therefore, fear not. Fear not, for the sons of God need never have tormenting fear. It is our Father with whom we deal. And the third thing that the Spirit witnesses is that all the riches of God's grace belong to us by divine right. You think of the context of what we've been reading this morning. What are these riches? The Holy Spirit speaks to us of our Father. There's the greatest element in the riches of the sons of God. When a Roman boy was redeemed out of a terrible situation and brought into the family of a great Roman citizen, his first thought surely would not be, what a mansion I live in. What a bank balance I'm going to have. What an education is mine. No, surely the thought would be first and foremost, what a father I have. The first element in the riches of the sons of God, our Father. Notice how Paul puts it, we cry, Abba. Father. The word Father in Aramaic and then in Greek tells you that the gospel expands through all nations. Yes, tells you that. But it is also true that the Abba is peculiarly the word of endearment of a child to his father. There is a nearness there. There is a trust there. But then there's something else. Among the Jews, it was a law that no slave could ever address a free man with the word Abba. Now, look at Paul. We cry, Abba, Father. We are no longer slaves, as we read in Galatians 4. We are not slaves anymore. We are the sons of God. We have our Father in heaven. Speaks to us about our family. We are numbered among the sons. We are numbered among the children. We have our place with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. With Peter, James, John, Paul, and all the rest of the apostles. We have our place with the elect of God and the redeemed of God from all ages. We are part of the family of God. You think of that. There was a time when you were a child of wrath, even as others. There was a time when you were numbered among the transgressors. But bless God today, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are in God's family. That's the witness of the Spirit. And then he speaks of our fortune. When God brings us into the family, he puts before us all the riches that are his. In the words that we were singing this morning, he witnesses, all that is mine is thine. That's our fortune. Notice how Paul proceeds here. We have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit witnesses that we are the children of God. If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. And then he witnesses our fellowship with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. All that belongs to Christ in the terms of the covenant of grace belongs to the believer in Christ. All that Christ merited by his life, by his death, by his intercession, all that he merited is given equally to all the children of God. What fellowship with Jesus Christ. This fellowship is shown beautifully. If you compare the words of Romans 8:15 with Mark 14 and 36, where the Lord Jesus lying in the Garden of Gethsemane, going through the depths of humiliation, with all the fiery darts of hell hurled upon him, with such agony that the blood was oozing through the pores of his skin, and every man's hand was against him, and even his friends had left him alone in this dark hour. And he cried, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You and I never really have a Gethsemane. All we have are dark places. But we can never plumb the depths of Gethsemane. We have our lonely times. We have our distressing periods. We have our tears and our heartaches. What a joy it is to know that we are in fellowship with Christ. And we cry, Abba, Father. Will you notice in John 17 when Jesus prayed, he prayed, My Father. No Christian ever should pray, My Father. Jesus taught us when we pray, say, Our Father. Because we never stand alone in the presence of God. We always stand in vital union and communion with Jesus Christ. He trod the winepress of God's wrath alone. Bless God, we stand in vital communion with him. Thank God the Spirit witnesses not only of our Father and our family and our fortune and our fellowship with Christ, but He witnesses about our future. Because He says we are joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Adoption legally has been transacted. We are the sons of God. But the full meaning of that adoption awaits the coming of Christ. Verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's all we have at the moment. The full harvest is yet to come. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What a day when in my flesh I shall see God. That's our future. Now this is the witness of the Spirit of adoption. Can I say as I close this morning that as the Spirit of adoption, the Holy Ghost's task is actually to make us feel the reality of these things. I have no doubt that every Christian here will say, yes, these are true. I am convinced of these things as facts. But you see, the Spirit of adoption, my friend, is not convincing us of an abstract truth. He is not merely convincing us by argument of a theological fact. Rather, the ministry of the Holy Spirit here is to make us conscious of our personal interest in these things. The Holy Ghost as the Spirit of adoption works within me that I may say and feel, I am not under law. I am under grace. I am free from slavish, tormenting fear. I have the liberty of the sons of God. I can cry, Abba, Father, with all the boldness and the nearness and the dearness and the assurance that that term implies. The Holy Ghost's job is to make us feel. And I use that word advisedly. Make us conscious. We're not saved by feeling. But I want to tell you, my friend, it's a mistake to do what some people think they can do and cut feeling out of Christianity. Christianity is not an egghead philosophy. Christianity is a relationship with God. And I tell you, my friend, when you are rightly related to God and God the Holy Spirit convinces you of that, oh, it's going to affect the way you feel. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. I want to tell you, when you are made to feel that God loves you, then you will, in return, love Him. Now here is the work of the Spirit of adoption. Convincing us that we're not under law, we're under grace. We're among the number of the sons of God. We have all the rights and we have all the privileges of the sons of God. And enabling us to live in the enjoyment that these things are true of us personally. May God indeed grant us the witness of the Spirit of adoption. If you are here today and you're under conviction of sin, and it appears that fear of God is the only feeling that you can have, then my friend, flee to Christ, in whom the law of God has been satisfied. Flee to Christ. Cry to Him for the witness of His Spirit. I'll come back to the witness of the Spirit on another occasion. But when you have the witness of His Spirit, you will find two things. His Spirit will witness with your spirit. You will cry, Abba, Father. and the Holy Ghost will confirm it in your heart. May God make that the joyous experience of every man and woman among us. Rest not until you're resting in the joy of sonship in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.